Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Beloved in the Lord, as we continue our study in the Apostles' Creed, we come to study now, after we've seen the resurrection of Christ, that phrase, he ascended into heaven. And I'd like to read what the Heidelberg Catechism writes about that in Lord's Day 18. How do you understand these words, he ascended into heaven? The answer, that Christ, in the sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he come again to judge the quick and the dead. Is not Christ then with us even to the end of the earth, as he promised? Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth. But with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. And then question 48, but if his human nature is not present whenever his Godhead is, are there not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? No. The answer, not at all, since the Godhead is incomprehensible and omnipresent. It must necessarily follow that the same is not limited with the human nature he assumed and yet remains personally united to it. And then, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. And secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. And thirdly, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest by whose power we seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3, set your mind on things above. In those words, Paul stresses the need that we must have for a right perspective on life. It's very easy for a believer, like anyone else, to get trapped into a rut. We have work, family responsibilities. We can be tied up with financial problems. And we have all kinds of things that can become burdens for us, that can make us tired and weary. We need to look to the things that are above, Paul says. We need to look ahead and see the thing that Paul points out. Look upward, he says, where Christ has ascended. He has blazed a trail that we can follow. And thinking then about the ascension of Christ is the helpful way for us to keep our focus on life in a right perspective. It reminds us that our destiny is not life on this earth, but our destiny is with the ascended Christ, who is now at the right hand of God, who has gone there to prepare a place for us. Talking about the ascension is not just some mythological, pious talk. It's the language of the Bible that reminds us that under the lordship of the ascended Jesus Christ, we have great blessings. What are the blessings of the ascension? And then to start with, what is the ascension? Well, the ascension is the fact that Christ was raised into heaven itself. His human body was raised and he went to the presence of God the Father. He ascended into glory. In his human nature, Christ departed from the earth and went into heaven, both in body and soul. After his ascension, he is, according to his human nature, no longer on earth. He is only in his human nature in heaven. The one born of the Virgin, who was crucified, who died, and who was raised from the dead, is now ascended at the very right hand of God in his human nature. He is present there for all eternity. And he is Lord over all things. The risen Savior is exalted in glory. The ascension was a common theme in the ministry of the Gospels and in the teaching of the Scripture. Over and over again, it is said, he is not here. He has risen. You see that in the words of the angels when the disciples came to the tomb. You see it in the many appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ where he talked about going to the Father. The same mediator who preached the kingdom of God in his earthly ministry is exalted now at the very right hand of God. And at the right hand of God, it simply means he is at the place of power and glory. He is the one who now exercises the almighty power of God. And Christ's ascension then is a change in his locality, not his state, that is his human nature, the union of his two persons, two natures in one person. He is in heaven only. He is not now present in the same way that he was before his ascension. Remember, the angel said to those who were at the tomb, he is not here. He is risen. We must say the same thing today. He is not here. He, in his human nature, is in heaven at the very right hand of God until he comes on that glorious last day. That should raise the question to us then that, well, where is heaven? Where is the right hand of God? Well, we're not given many clear answers in Scripture, but what we do know is that when he is at the right hand of God, he is at the place of power. He is at the place where all who have gone before us, and the angels as well, share in the life of God. He has entered, unrestricted by anything that he created, the place of glory where God exists. And the ascension is thus a sign of the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's in the Apostles' Creed, and the creed goes through that stage of Christ's descent, his glorification, and the last step of his glorification, of course, is his ascension into heaven at the right hand of God the Father, where he rules and reigns over all things. That's why in the Heidelberg Catechism it says, well, what are the advantages to the believer of the ascension of Christ into heaven? And we need to look at that because that's where we need to take our comfort from. And I would remind you that the Heidelberg Catechism is the catechism that is structured with that theme of comfort. It begins with that very question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I belong body and soul to Jesus Christ. Well, what is your comfort in Jesus Christ in his ascension is one of the questions. Well, the ascension tells us that we now have Jesus in heaven for us. There in heaven to be our representative, our advocate, the one who has obtained our justification. He pleads the cause of our frail humanity. And he reminds God that we are on our way to perfection, as the Epistle of Hebrews tells us. He appeals to the justice and the faithfulness of God on the basis of the work of his atonement and upon the perfect justification for sin which he accomplished for us on the cross. That's what led John Calvin to say this about the ascension. He said, as faith recognizes, it is to our great benefit that Christ resides with the Father. Notice what he goes on to say. For having entered a sanctuary not made with hands, remember those words from Hebrews? Before the Father's face, he is there as our constant advocate and intercessor. He turns the Father's eyes to his own righteousness to avert his gaze from our sins. He so reconciles the Father's heart to us that by his intercession, he prepares a way and access for us to the Father's throne. He fills with grace and kindness the throne that for miserable sinners would otherwise have been filled with dread. You remember the invitation of Hebrews that we are invited to call upon the high priest, and to call upon God at the very throne of grace. We have that because Christ is there for us. That's the great benefit that we have of the ascension of Christ into heaven at the very right hand of God. Christ there is our intercessor, who is the one who declares our righteousness because of his righteousness, and that we then can be the ones who can come to the very throne of God. A heavenly advocate assures us that we are kept by a shepherd's love. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The great shepherd of the sheep, Christ, in the Holy of Holies, ministers there for us. There in the Holy of Holies, the prosecuting attorney is ejected from the courtroom because Jesus stands there, and the case against us is dismissed because our sentence was executed upon the great high priest himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the believer can successfully resist temptation, fight the devil, and be assured of the pardon from sin declared in the gospel through the continuous ministry of the heavenly advocate, Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the benefit for us. Christ is there for his people. Jesus, our King, our advocate, invites us to the very throne room of God on the basis of his finished work, the shedding of his blood, the blood of the new covenant. The faith that Jesus pleads in our behalf is the faith that allows us to approach the Father as our heavenly Father, confessing our sins, trusting that the scripture is true, that God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because Jesus is there in heaven for us. And in the faith that pleads on the basis of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, we can come to God at any time. And we can do so because of his grace. And because Christ is united to his people, his body, the church, he gives his church the opportunity then to not only at this point know his presence and grace, but to be reminded that he will once again come for his people in glory, and he will bring them to his heavenly home. He is the one in his majesty who is never absent from us. In fact, it says our flesh is in heaven. Jesus Christ is there. Our sinful nature is unfit for heavenly glory. It's corrupt and it's sinful. Heaven was closed to us. But Christ in our human nature satisfies God's justice by perfect obedience to the law of God in a very nature that never sinned. And because he has obtained that right of heavenly glory, Jesus in his human nature now ascended up on high, is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and there promises to bring home his people for all eternity. And while he promises to bring us home, he also says that he would send his comforter to us. The ascended Lord has sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. If you read back through the words of the Apostles' Creed and its explanation in the Heidelberg Catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism makes much of the fact that Jesus in his human nature is in heaven, but he is there and he has promised that he would send the comforter to be with us. He is not present with us in his human nature, but he sends his spirit to be with us, to be our comforter, to be present with us, to draw us from our sin to Jesus Christ, to transform our hearts by the power of the gospel and by his grace, so that we might be able to know the power of his grace. Jesus himself has given us this great promise. Not present with his human nature, he's gone away from us with respect to his human nature, but he is present with us by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is everywhere, all the time, God present with his people. And the Holy Spirit then becomes the pledge that we too will enter glory. Have you ever noticed that people, as they grow older, and many who are thinking about death, are comforted in the fact that they know, they have that assurance in their hearts that when they die, death would be imminent? They're not afraid of it. Why? Because they know that they will enter glory. Where do they get that from? Well, that comes from the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The indwelling Holy Spirit who has made us alive in Christ to be partakers of this resurrection life with Jesus now. And through this Holy Spirit, we live on this earth as strangers and pilgrims. We're in transition. But while we are in this transition period, we're awaiting that full and final moment when our redemption will come and we will be brought home to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God our Father for all eternity. And we can remain faithful to him by resting in this great truth that Paul speaks of in Colossians 3. Look above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. By faith, remember that you're pilgrims here and that you need to be spiritually and heavenly minded, citizens of an eternal kingdom that you will one day enter, you will one day enjoy forever and ever. And you can know that because Jesus has ascended. He is there at the right hand of the Father. And on that glorious day, he will come and bring us to himself for all eternity. He has raised us with himself. We are to seek those things which are above, where our life is hid with Christ in God. And because Jesus has ascended, our outlook on this life can prepare us for that spectacular future that awaits us. And our minds and our hearts and our thoughts can be focused upon the ascended Christ because our life is hid with Christ in God. May our hearts be joined with Christ through his word and by his spirit to know this great truth of the ascension and the blessings for us that we realize through it by God's grace and for his glory. Amen.